Wrestling Podcast with your hosts from Saddle Valley and the Smoky Mountains. The one, the only, the Mountain Man, Spike Mud Shadow.
Welcome to the Juice Wrestling Podcast with the Mountain Man, Spike Von Shadow, where we talk about the latest and greatest news in sports entertainment / professional wrestling, where I cover each week the newest Raw and SmackDown Live, also bringing you various other news in the world of WWE. Where each week here at the Juice, we talk about who's got the juice, who doesn't got the juice, and who is the juice. In other words, who's hot, who's not, and who's burning it down. Obviously, this week, if you watched Raw, they weren't burning shit down. Raw was trash this week, and SmackDown was pretty darn good. It was pretty darn good. I was happy with it. But we'll get to that here shortly. Okay? So let's get to the news. Start things off today. Oh, I just want to extend a big thank you to all those who are either tuning in for the first time, the second time tuning in. Last week I had some issues. Had some technological issues. Had some personal issues going on in my life. And it just seemed like I couldn't do the podcast last week. And I felt like there was issues and people and things getting in the way. But as I move forward in this voyage, nothing will deter me from my goal. I'm moving forward, bringing you the news each and every week in my unique perspective on WWE. I've been watching, to everybody at home, you realize I've been watching wrestling since I was like 5 years old. Hey, and to watch the ups and downs through the years of WWE, it has been a cornerstone, a hallmark, if you will, in my life, through the good, through the bad. And even though the WWE goes through the same type of shit where it's got ups and downs, I'm sticking by it, you know? And especially once I get to Raw, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Some of the most cringeworthy, some of the most just bewilderingly awful TV this week on Raw. So, but SmackDown, on the other hand, I was pretty happy with. It wasn't NXT level glorious, but it was good. It was good. I was happy with it. So, let's continue. So this week, in the news, we're going to be talking about which member of the New Day is going to Money in the Bank. Also, Big Cass is bitch ass, is injured after last week's SmackDown, in which he suffered another knee injury. Now, my thing is this, okay? You irritate, you aggravate, and you get under the skin of Daniel Bryan, okay? And granted, Daniel is a babyface, okay? But it doesn't mean that he won't whoop your ass. And my first thoughts after last week's show was, hey, this has got to be part of the storyline. You know, Big Cass, this knee injury. I'm thinking that, you know, hey, it's part of the storyline, you know. But come to find out, This knee injury is a thing with Big Cass. So, also this week, we're going to be talking about a lot of the there's more matches that are lined up for Money in the Bank, and so far so good. Some of you out there are like, WWE is shit, it's utter garbage, none of it's good, all of it's trash. And to a lot of you, I agree. There's a lot of it that is trash. There's a lot of it that is garbage. But then there's a lot of it that's good too, you know, and I think moving forward, especially SmackDown, the last 2 weeks have progressively it's getting better. And I feel like, don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but the way the matches and the storylines are developing on SmackDown versus Raw, I feel like somebody in the creative team, I feel like there's a shakeup. I feel like somebody else is handling the reins. I've been studying, monitoring, watching TV shows, movies, anime, you name it, for years. And when a writer writes a storyline, and even in WWE, when you change writers creatively, and you start developing certain storylines, certain things start happening, it's because there's a change. There's a change in the team. Somebody is shaking it up. There's a flavor to it. There's a motif. And up until last week, I felt like we had like the same creative team that we've had for a while on SmackDown and Raw. And I feel like last week, just the way the promos happened, the matches happened, the way everything was set up was different. Like, it was like, holy shit, somebody's doing something different. Somebody's got control of this. Something different is going on here. I can just feel it. And as we move forward, I think that's a good thing. Also, in the news, Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. Stipulation for the match, their rematch at Money in the Bank, was decided this week. We'll get to that here shortly once we get SmackDown, but also, Raw's viewership was down this week. Not a surprise. I mean, seriously. Also, Bray Wyatt's birthday was this week. Sasha Banks signs a new contract with WWE. And possibly Jason Jordan returning to Monday Night Raw soon. So, now, let's get to... Oh, one of the things I wanted to talk about this week. Through watching wrestling, I've noticed a pattern, okay? And I've been binge-watching not only NXT, but I've been binge-watching all the pay-per-views last week, or last year, all through 2017. Because every writer, every creative writer has a formula, okay? And I believe I have cracked the code. Now, some of you are like, oh, yeah, these creative writers are shit. They have no plans. They have no long-term ideas. They have no. I think they do. I think there is a subconscious formula that is going on. And if you really dig deep and you really look back and you look at not from a month-to-month basis or a week-to-week basis or a 3 to 4 month basis. If you look at it from a yearly to 2 yearly basis, there's a bigger picture there that I believe is going on. And I'm going to get to that here shortly, which I am dubbing the take an L today to get the bigger W for tomorrow theory. And I'm going to provide examples later on here in the podcast that back that theory up. Okay. And it will come into play once we talk about Carmella and Asuka. Once we talk about Shinsuke in AJ's match. Baron Corbin. Jinder Mahal. Like, there's this formula that I think I have broken down and I think I've cracked the code. So just bear with me, okay? And we'll get to that here shortly. So now let's get to Monday Night Raw this week. Monday Night Raw this week, how do I sum this up? It was atrocious. Normally, I would say Raw on a week-to-week basis is maybe like a C, maybe even a C+. Okay? We were grading it. But this week, wow. Wow. The first hour and a half of this, wow. It was... I think the crowd, and I think all of you at home, we all felt the same way. I think there was a lot of us out there that were angry. I think there was a lot of us out there that were in disbelief. I think there was a lot of us out there that was like, what the fuck is going on here? Okay? And once again, we follow this same process. This same process of Kurt Angle comes out to the ring, okay? He comes out to the ring. Once again, the crowd chanting, "You suck." And I think to myself, I get that, you know, you guys don't like Kurt Angle, but really, this trolling-ass crowd constantly with the "you suck" chants. Do we really have to do that every time Kurt Angle comes to the ring? Okay? Really? I get it. Don't like Kurt Angle. I get it. It's an emotional moment. I get it. Okay? But I think to myself, like, really? Really? All right, whatever. I'm gonna let that go. I'm just gonna let it go. So he comes out to the ring, and Coachman's bitch ass, which in my opinion, one of the like I don't get his style of commentating. I don't. I don't fully understand it. But basically, he talks about terms of endearment. That these "you suck" chants are terms of endearment. And a lot of this, now pay attention. Now, through a lot of what happened at this week's Raw. I'm like, really? Really? And I'm like, confused, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But, terms of endearment. Like, really, Coachman? All right, whatever. Okay, I'm rolling on. Hold on. And so Kurt Angle goes on to say that Raw has been on a roll. And I'm like, what kind of roll? Really? You have some good matches here and there, okay? But what kind of a roll are you, like, does the creative writers here, do they not proofread this before giving it to them? All right, whatever, whatever. Moving forward. And he comes out with some big news that, hey, this week, you know, we got a lot of big things going on. There's a lot of exciting announcements. And the Ronda Rousey Nia Jax contract signing, which is interrupted by Stephanie McMahon's bitch ass, which I think, maybe it's just me, but I particularly think that the reason why, I think, now maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like a common denominator, because I feel like every time Stephanie is on Raw, it sucks. And it sucks really, really bad. Just saying. Okay? And so she comes out to the ring, and my first thoughts are, these are my thoughts, okay? Just follow me as I'm going forward here. She comes out to the ring, and my first thought is, what is up with your entrance music? Like, it was just, I don't even know. Is you going for this whole evil businesswoman persona shit? Like, it was just garbage, and I think it's horrible. You need to tell me in the catalog of WWE music, you guys don't have anything better than this. Okay, whatever. Let's move forward. And so she comes out to the ring and she talks about the fact that she needs to do what's best for business. And that Kurt Angle's been how would you explain it? He's been emotional at his decisions he's made. And that with Stephanie's continued guidance, that she could really, he could really raise the bar and get on a higher level. And I'm like, really? Really? If you would stay out of the WWE, I'm just saying, I think things would develop naturally. And I think it would be, it would progress in a great direction. And I think it would be good without Stephanie McMahon. Just saying. I can't stand this bitch. Really, I can't. Okay. But maybe that's part of her whole, persona. Maybe that's part of the whole, I'm a bitch, so I'm the evil bitch heel shit, whatever, I don't know. And continuing to talk about Kurt's guidance. Then, Roman Reigns' bitch ass comes to the ring, okay? Now, there are a lot of people out there that can't stand Roman Reigns. And for the most part, my opinion is this. I think Roman has potential. And I think if you just let him go out there and be a badass and be an asshole, I think he could be really good. And I feel like we got that tease this week. I feel like, along with him coming out to the ring, he had more of this, like, badass persona. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's coming out there to the ring. And at first, Stephanie McMahon's like, oh, you and your new attitude and your Samoan temper. And I'm like, okay, he said a few words, okay, in regards to basically fuck management and you better watch how you're talking to me. And so I'm getting this impression like, okay, we're finally taking a step in a direction where Roman could actually go heel. He's already getting booze. Embrace it. Just saying. Okay, so I feel like we get these teases. Okay? And so I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, he's stepping up and he's trying to be a badass. Okay. All right, we got to step forward in the right direction. And Stephanie McMahon goes on about this Samoan temper and I don't play favorites. And I'm like, bitch, you play favorites. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, hello? All right, whatever. I digress. But I feel like we took a step forward with Roman, and then they took like 10 steps back. Like, we're going to push him as a heel. But then it's like, nah, it's like, he's a babyface still. I'm like, all right, whatever. In this first hour, it was nothing but Roman. Okay, and when I say nothing but Roman, the entire hour, it was like all about Roman. And I'm tired of this. I'm really tired of this Roman thing. Let him develop naturally. Stop cramming him down our throats. Okay, whatever. So, Kevin Owens comes out to the ring. So, and I feel like in this first hour, it's like they were pulling out all the stops to get Roman over. They're pulling out everything that they've got in their bag of tricks. Okay. So we can't get Roman over naturally. So we're just going to keep, we're not going to let it develop naturally. We're just going to cram it down your throats. And I'm thinking to myself, like, really? Really? So they use Kevin Owens, who he comes out to the ring, and he's like, I really like Roman Reigns. Oh, okay, so I'm going to, like, you're going to take, which, keep in mind, I don't like Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn. I think they play good heels, but I don't like them at all. But that's part of their shtick. That's part of them being good heels, you know? So, all right, whatever. So, he comes out to the ring and he's like, oh, I really like Roman Reigns. Trying to get him over by saying he likes Roman Reigns. And once again, and then proceeds with a thank you Roman chant. And so I'm like, really? Really? All right, whatever. So, from there, after they can't push him organically, they proceed to use Kevin Owens to get him over. When that doesn't work, let's set up a match between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, which, it was probably one of the worst matches of the night. Why is that, you ask? both Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns looked slow as hell, okay? Not only slow as hell, but Kevin Owens kept running outside the ring. And I'm like, what the hell is this? He keeps going outside the ring, and I'm like, what is the goal of this? What are you doing? He keeps going outside the ring, and it was really rinse and repeat. He would roll outside the ring, and Roman would hit him with a Superman punch, roll outside the ring, and then Jinder Mahal comes out, interrupts the match. Okay, I get it. You're pushing this whole Jinder Roman feud. Got it. Boring. So then we got Kevin Owens and Jinder Mahal beating up on Roman Reigns. Follow that up with, you're going to take your biggest guy in the company. You're going to take Seth Rollins, okay? Seth Rollins, just on fire. He is literally burning it down. And he comes out to the ring, and you're going to use him to catapult Roman? Really? And so this singles match turns into a tag match. And then they win. Jinder comes out from the back, and Coachman, once again, Coachman's bitch ass. Really, the commentary this whole first hour was just, I don't even want to talk about the match, because the match was even worse. Because most of the match was Roman in the ring, developing sympathy, so that Seth can come in with the big explosion, the big pop, and everybody goes crazy. And then they go to the back. And Coachman's like, oh, I didn't know. Where did Jinder Mahal come from? And I was at this moment, I'm like, how did you guys not see him leave and go into the back and then come back out with a chair? Like, it wasn't, like, you guys just had a match with him. How does both Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns not notice Jinder come at them with a steel chair? I'm like, all right, whatever. So that sets up a match next week, Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal, which I'm puzzled. I think the fans are puzzled. Whatever. Moving forward. Just garbage, and this leads us to our next bit of shit. Oh man, this whole Sami Zayn Bobby Lashley segment, I think in my 27, 28 years of watching wrestling, ever since I was a little kid, I've been there through the ups. I've been there through the downs. You know, I've taken a break from watching wrestling for a few years. And I've seen so many Raws, SmackDowns, pay-per-views. I don't think ever before in my entire life did I ever see something so bad, so nauseating, and so confusing as this Bobby Lashley Sami Zayn segment, which I think to myself, what are you guys doing over at the WWE? What are you trying to convey here? I feel like, what kind of story is it that you're trying to tell? Because I'm confused. And if you're listening to this, you are probably confused too. So, Sami Zayn comes out to the ring. Which, once again, as I've said, I don't like Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens, but I think they make great heels. And last week, his big announcement that he was going to expose Bobby Lashley. I feel like Bobby could have had a good second run at WWE. I feel like he could have. Just like Sting, he could have had a great run in WWE. I don't know if it's Vince and his super annoying pettiness. I don't quite know what it is. But last week's heartwarming montage interview with him talking about his sisters and all that other fucking bullshit, it's bullshit, okay? We don't care about your sisters. We don't care about you being a family man. We want to hear you come to the ring and talk about you want that Intercontinental belt. You want the Universal belt. You're going to destroy the locker room. Hashtag Drew McIntyre. They're doing something right with Drew McIntyre. Dropping the ball with Bobby Lashley. I don't know. I don't get it. Whatever. So Sami Zayn comes out to the ring and he's like, I'm bringing out his sisters. And these sisters were dudes. Myself. The crowd. And I think everyone around the world that was watching Raw at that moment had the same reaction. A unified reaction, if you will. What the fuck is this? So they come out to the ring with this. One of them had a damn mustache, bro. Really? And they continue to parade the story about how Bobby was a bully and Bobby was mean and all this other shit. And so then Bobby Lashley comes out to the ring. And you would think, he'd come out, maybe he'd be pissed. Maybe he'd come out and just beat the hell out of everybody. But no, he comes out to the ring and he's smiling. And he says that Sammy is a good friend. It was a fucking circus. It was like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. And then at one point, Sammy was like, oh, how would you like it if I haluva kicked you in the head? Finally bringing some type of seriousness to the moment. They all gang up on him. He fights back. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I really don't. It was, oh, man. And I'm just left with, like, what are you doing? Whatever. I'm moving on. Utter trash. Now, finally, a decent part of Raw. Ember Moon versus Alexa Bliss. One of the things that I hope moving forward. Now, I'm putting these positive thoughts, these positive manifestations out there in the universe, and I hope some way, somehow, someone is listening. Maybe you can reverberate or send this to the powers that be at WWE and make this shit happen. But we have this whole goddess versus war goddess type of rivalry going on. Now, maybe, this is just going to be a one and done thing. And especially Alexa talking about the Visigoths and the Romans and this whole type of war type thing. I felt like, okay, we're getting a little bit of build up here. Especially since probably moving forward for the next few weeks until Money in the Bank, we're going to have all the people that are in the qualifying for Money in the Bank, all those that are in the Money in the Bank match fighting each other. I hope that we get a Ember Moon Alexa Bliss feud out of this. That's one of the few, and I'm going to, especially moving forward here at the podcast, moving forward here at the Juice, I am very, 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 very adamant about women's wrestling. Women's wrestling used to be a fucking joke. It used to be this divas division, a bunch of bitches slapping each other in the ring. And I feel like over the last 2 to 3 years, the women's division has stepped up and become the women's division. And I'm proud. And I'm glad. And I'm excited to watch the women's division. Because they're taking steps forward in the right direction. We've got talented women's wrestlers. Not divas, women's wrestlers. Wrestling. I never thought that when I was a little boy, we would never have legitimate female wrestlers. I didn't think that when I was growing up. But there are a lot of these women's wrestlers who have impressed me. And I'm legitimately excited to watch them wrestle. They've got talent. Their entrances are great. Their in-ring moves are great. Their finishers are great. Their personalities, great. And especially NXT. I love the women's division in NXT. But I feel like in both Raw and SmackDown, other than the SmackDown Women's Championship and the Raw Women's Championship, where are the other feuds? Where are the other rivalries? We had Sasha and Bayley, and that's kind of like here and there. Maybe. After this Money in the Bank thing, we'll get more. And so this is why this Ember Moon versus Alexa Bliss thing, I'm excited for. I really am. Because I absolutely love Ember Moon, and I think Ember Moon is like the best part of Raw from the women's division. I really, really do. And I love her finisher. I love her in-ring moves. She's very athletic. She moves like a cheetah. And her entrance is great. I even learned to play her theme on the guitar this week. To everybody at home, I'm a guitar player. I love playing guitar. It's like my quiet space. It's like my thing I go to when the world when I get exhausted or stressed out from the world. I lock myself in the room in my room and I play the guitar and I feel so much better afterwards. And lately, I've been learning WWE themes. So stay tuned to the podcast. And I'm going to be releasing them, you know, here shortly. You know, in the next few weeks. So that'll be really, really cool. But I digress. I'm really looking forward to this Ember Moon Alexa Bliss fight and or rivalry, and especially the match was really good. Ember Moon picked up the win, got the Eclipse off the turnbuckle. And once again, we get Alexa Bliss outside the ring, pouting and whining. Alexa Bliss's heel persona, her is hilarious to me, and it's enjoyable to watch. And I hope we get some more development out of this. But it was a great match. I was happy with it. And especially Mickie James coming to the ring with Alexa Bliss, which, one of the things that bewilders me is, a while back, Mickie James came to the aid of Alexa Bliss. Now, maybe many of you out there have forgotten this. Maybe many of you out there, it went right over your heads. Maybe you weren't paying attention. Me? I think to myself, Mickie James used to be feuding with Alexa Bliss, and she even went so far as to call Mickie James an old lady. And now you're coming to the ring with her? I mean, it's been going on for a minute, but these two used to be feuding, and what was the straw that broke the camel's back? Because she beat you? All right, whatever. But in this match, Mickie James jumps in the ring and goes to hit Ember Moon with her heel. I think those were heels or something she had on, and she went to take it off. And luckily, the referee was doing his job, which some of these referees are fucking shit and don't do their jobs right. But this guy caught it, so big ups on him. Throws Mickie James out. Good match, and I hope that we get more of this Ember Moon Alexa Bliss feuding, maybe after Money in the Bank. Who knows? I personally hope. Now, keep in mind, I know what's going to happen. I believe that Natalia is going to win Money in the Bank and get the briefcase, cash it in against Ronda and Nia. But I hope Ember wins. Now, keep in mind, this is me channeling consciousness here. Staying woke, son. Staying woke. Putting out these positive thought manifestations out in the universe. Maybe somebody somewhere passes along to WWE management, creative writing teams, whatever. We can get Ember Moon to win this thing. Challenge Ronda maybe later in the year. Or challenge Nia. But I know it's going to happen. But one can only hope, I suppose. Moving forward. Stephanie, Finn, and Braun. In which Finn and Braun won a rematch against Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. And Stephanie's like, nah. She puts the kibosh on that shit. And's like, oh, by the way, you two can fight it out in friendly competition. In which Braun crushes an apple. And we get a startling look on Smiley Finn. Good old Finn Balor's face. So, which, in my opinion, it was probably the funniest moment in all of Raw. Seeing his face turn from happy smiley to this look of dread was pretty good. Then we get No Way Jose versus Baron Corbin Part 3 in this rivalry between No Way Jose, Baron Corbin. I think No Way Jose is really cool. I like the conga line. I like what he's doing with Titus Worldwide. I'm not, like, I feel like the rivalry between No Way Jose and Baron Corbin is done. I think it's dead. And I feel like we should move on from that. Like, I feel like I don't care about this match. And I want to, but there's nothing making me want to. So Baron Corbin picks up the win, hits him with the End of Days. Then we get this segment with Kurt and Chad Gable, in which he talks about the fact that if it wasn't for Stephanie, he was going to put him in the Money of the Bank qualifying match, in which Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler come out, and Drew McIntyre ultimately saying that these decisions are being made above your pay grade, which I personally believe Drew McIntyre should be the Universal Champion. Drew McIntyre is probably, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, mind you, the best guy on the Raw roster. I really do. He's also fucking Scottish, which, you know, I'm Scottish and Irish, so, and he's just a hell of a wrestler, and I like where they're taking him, I like what they're doing with him, and so what comes out of that is a match between Dolph Ziggler and Chad Gable, which I'm good on Dolph Ziggler. Now, maybe a lot of you out there are like, oh, but Dolph Ziggler, he's challenged and he's got, no, I'm bored with Dolph, and I can't wait until Dolph turns on Drew McIntyre and Drew pounds him to a pulp. That's what I'm waiting for. Because this whole friendly tag team bullshit between Dolph and Drew, this is only temporary. This is only temporary. Drew's going to turn on Dolph, or Dolph's going to turn on Drew, and Drew's going to beat the living holy hell out of him. And it's going to be awesome. So I can't wait for that. Which brings us to the next shit show. The B Team, Bo Dallas and Kurt Axel versus the Fashion Police, Breezango. Which, for the second week in a row, the B Team scores a win against Breezango. Yawn. Utter yawn. How are you going to celebrate a victory against a team that you've already beaten? Which we all know that Breezango are nothing but a bunch of jobbers right now, because they, WWE has no plans to do anything with them, so you just kind of knew they were going to get the win. And ultimately, what was up with that celebration, bro, with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel? They went to the announce table, they were falling all over each other, and then they took the chair and rode the chair to the ring. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Then we get to the Ronda Nia Jax contract signing, in which Stephanie's bitch ass comes out to the ring to throw fuel on the fire. Ronda comes out smiling away at the crowd. Yay, I'm here. Yeah, all right, whatever. I don't know. In which Stephanie's like, oh yeah, Nia's out here to make a name for herself on Ronda's account. And once again, Stephanie adds fuel to this non-existent fire. And I ultimately feel like this match is going to be good, but part of me is like, a year from now, maybe this would be a really good match. Maybe. But I feel like Nia Jax, since she won the Women's Championship, the Raw Championship, like, boring. Ronda, too early in her development for this. She needs time to develop. And ultimately, we have a stare down between them both, in which Ronda says, I'm going to take your title and your arm. And I feel like, I'm like, I want to care for this, but ultimately, since Naya's gotten the belt, I feel like she's just not a good champion. And her last match against Alexa Bliss was trash. And I want the old Nia Jax. The heel from NXT. Her feud with Asuka was great. I loved that. I want the big, brooding monster among women, if you will, Nia Jax. I don't like this babyface Nia Jax. I want her to be mean and fierce and a monster like she used to be. I don't like this whole, you can be anything you want to be. You don't got to be ordinary, be extraordinary, whatever. No, I don't want that out of you. I want you to be a diabolical, mean heel like you should be. Squashing females and women left and right and destroying the locker room, making a presence known. Not fighting, whatever. Then we get Ziggler versus Chad Gable. And which, this is another thing I had to talk about. Where was their entrance, bro? Where was their entrance? Like, sometimes I feel like, especially this week, we just, oh, shit, here's the match. Like, you gotta understand that, like, watching the wrestlers come to the ring with an entrance, it's like watching your favorite TV show or movie and getting the opening credits in the theme song. You to many of you out there, you know, or if you've been following me on social media, you know, I was doing a weekly Dragon Ball Super podcast for the longest time, Sundays with Soul. So you can check us out at What Is That Podcast on Facebook. And I've talked about this before, but when you watch a TV show, you gotta watch the intro. You can't just watch the show. Like, it's like eating a cheeseburger without the buns, bro. Like eating a burger without the cheese. Like just a patty. Just a patty with like a fork and a knife. Like to you, to people out there that eat a burger with a fork and a knife, you're not eating it right, all right? You're not. It's got to be on a bun, son, or in a wrap, okay? Whatever, okay? That's, so, yeah. And I feel like WWE does this sometimes. They're like, oh, match already in progress. And I'm like, what? That's like missing the first 15 minutes of a movie. Like, what's the premise? What's the plot? What's going on? Like, you know, you get that build up to the match. Like, yeah, coming out to the ring and like the hoopla, the bravado. Nah, you're getting the match already in progress. Like entering a movie theater while the movie's already started. Like, wait. I got here on time, motherfucker. I was here. What happened during the... And they do this. Sometimes they'll go to commercial breaks during the match. And I'm like, really? Like, this is good stuff here. And sometimes they'll do this on SmackDown Live. During the match, like, I'm going to get to it here when I talk about SmackDown. But during the Miz Big E match, they went to commercial, and of course they have the little SmackDown video in the corner, and then the rest of the screen is filled up with the commercial, and I'm like, I don't care about these commercials, I want to see the match and the commentary and shit. Like, no, don't go to commercial now. Whatever. So we get Ziggler versus Chad Gable, in which Ziggler won. We kind of knew that was coming. And then at the end, Drew McIntyre steps in the ring, hits him with the claymore. All I gotta say is Drew McIntyre is amazing, and he's kicking ass. But this match I felt was another one that was a waste of my time. Then we get the next Money in the Bank qualifying match. Women's Money in the Bank qualifying match. Which so far, we've got Ember Moon qualifying. And we have, so we've got Ember Moon. We've got Charlotte. We've got Becky. We've got which we should have Sasha. But we get the next stage of that, which we had Dana Brooke versus Natalia versus Sarah Logan versus Liv Morgan. Here's my thoughts on the match. Match was decent, but I kind of knew Natalia was going to win with this. We had this whole Natalia and Ronda taking selfies all over, like, come on, man. We kind of knew this was coming. And we had this team up with Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan against Natalia, in which Dana Brooke. We knew Dana Brooke wasn't going to win this. When was the last time you seen Dana Brooke in a match, bro? She's been out there with Titus O'Neil and Titus Worldwide. I think the last time she wrestled was Royal Rumble. She's been on the sidelines, okay? She ain't going to wrestle. She's going to show up for an appearance, for a match or two, go back to the sidelines. Which, I have some legitimate issues with certain wrestlers not wrestling. For example, the Bella Twins. Okay? They're doing this whole Total Bellas, this whole Bella show. Why? I don't want to watch that. And maybe, now let me know. Find me at the Mountain Man Spike Von Shadow on Facebook and let me know your thoughts. Okay? What do you think? But this is my thought process. Maybe a lot of you agree with me. Who knows? I don't want to see the Bellas. I don't give a shit about Baby Bella or like their home life and them. No, I don't care. I want to see them in the ring kicking ass. Both Bella Twins came back in the Royal Rumble of this year. And they made it to the end. I legitimately went into the first woman's Royal Rumble. And I thought to myself, Asuka's going to destroy everybody. Everybody. And there was a few of them that I was really surprised with. The Bellas were one. They lasted till the end. And I think to myself, what the fuck are you doing on TV? You need to be in the ring. You need to be destroying the women's division. Can't be because they're out with an injury. Because they looked fucking great at the Women's Royal Rumble. They made it to the end against Asuka, but I mean, you ain't going to beat Asuka, son. You ain't going to beat Asuka. Asuka is the greatest, okay? And the only reason she lost at WrestleMania was for political bullshit reasons, okay? Here is how it works. This is my theory. I have a theory that the WWE has what I call the take the L today for a bigger W tomorrow. For example, Asuka came into the main roster and they're like, listen, you take the L at WrestleMania 34 against Charlotte, our golden girl, our prestigious Charlotte, because we still got to use that money in the bank contract. And, of course, we don't want Asuka to get the belt only to have Carmella cash in the money in the bank and take it from Asuka because that's just asinine. So my thought process is, and what I'm thinking in my head is, have Asuka lose at WrestleMania 34 because Carmella had to use her money in the bank, and since this is the first ever woman's money in the bank, she had to win the belt because it's kind of a thing with money in the bank. Just saying. And I mean, you know, other than like Baron Corbin and like, what, two or three others? Nobody loses to Money in the Bank, which I'll get to that here in a bit as to take the L today for a bigger W tomorrow philosophy formula. So, Asuka loses at WrestleMania in order to beat Carmella because obviously we don't want to have babyface Asuka and babyface Charlotte fight each other and have Asuka win. No. We can't have that. What they wanted to do, Charlotte wins, Carmella cash in the Money in the Bank. Atrociously bad heel, Carmella, which I can't stand Carmella because her squeaky whiny voice in the ring, always screaming and it's annoying as hell and it gives you headaches. Build her up as this monumental champion heel. Then at Money in the Bank, have Asuka beat her. And Asuka goes on her undefeated title reign, probably till the end of time, hopefully. Because I don't think that any SmackDown wrestler, any women's SmackDown wrestler is going to win Money in the Bank. I really don't think that's going to happen. So that Asuka can go on her title reign and destroy the women's division. But that's what I mean by take the L today for a bigger W tomorrow. They did it with Baron Corbin, Jinder Mahal, and AJ Styles. Okay? Baron Corbin wins Money in the Bank, takes the L to Jinder Mahal to do what? Win the United States title. Take the L today for a W tomorrow. Just like AJ Styles. You lose the title to Baron Corbin. Take the L today for us to give you a match against Jinder Mahal for that big W tomorrow. I digress. All in all, it was a decent match. I wasn't too excited about it, but Natalya wins because I knew she was going to. Makes sense because she's probably going to win Money in the Bank. Challenge Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey, and she's going to walk away Money in the Bank Women's Champion. Because you're not going to have Nia retain and you're not going to have Ronda walk out of there with the belt. It's just Vince wants to put Ronda on the card, but doesn't want her to win the title, which makes sense, but you want that name recognition. Whatever. And then my other thing that I didn't understand. What was up with Natalya's ponytail? In the after segments, after she won the match, they were talking about, oh, how does it feel to win the match and be in the Money in the Bank? And she's talking about how her and Ronda are going to be women's champion and Miss Money in the Bank and all this shit. And I just kept looking at her ponytail, and it was like bobbing up and down like one of them bobblehead dolls. And I'm like, will somebody cut that off or like maybe tape that down or something? Because that's annoying the shit out of me right now. All right, whatever. Then we get to Elias versus Bobby Roode, which is trash. Elias won. I really like Elias and Bobby Roode, but I'm not a fan of this rivalry. I'm just not. Elias hits him with the drift away and gets the pin. We go on to Braun versus Finn. in which it was actually a pretty decent match. Braun, of course, slams him, gives him the power slam, and pins him. And then he picks him up at the end. So, all in all, not bad. Not bad match. Pretty decent. And next week, we get the Money in the Bank Women's Leftovers match. I call it the Leftovers because it's everybody else who's either lost or ain't in the Money in the Bank qualifying match yet. So, we've got Alexa Bliss, Ember Moon, Natalya going to Money in the Bank. So tune in for my SmackDown review coming up. If you liked my Raw review, stay tuned for SmackDown. I was originally going to do this. I know you're like, Mountain Man, where's the SmackDown review? Well, this is pushing an hour, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to end this here and publish this. So stay tuned for my SmackDown review, which I will go more in depth as to the craziness of this week. And moreover, I'm going to continue to go on about Raw and SmackDown, and I'm going to be talking about Raw, SmackDown, but, and the controversy, in my opinion, of Raw versus SmackDown, because Raw was utter trash, but yet SmackDown was really good, and especially I'm going to talk about the psychology behind that, and I have a theory as to why it's like that, so I'm the Mountain Man, Spike Von Shadow. Thanks for tuning in today to The Juice. And I'll see you next time.